projects in Nevada. You know, location that really matters and has been very important for U.S. gold production historically. Recently merged with Tora Gold and brought on a real team of mine builders and executors. So the project sits in the Battle Mountain Trend. You know, this trend's historically done 50 million ounces of gold production. Premier location, very, very well known. Along with that, that comes all the infrastructure required to build a mine, workforce, mine suppliers. The I-80 highway is about 10 miles to the north of the project, and so you can imagine the leverage and the torque to gold that this project has when we already have a 6 million ounce resource that was calculated less than 50% of today's spot.
So $2,000 gold, are you guys going to be updating that soon, or what's the timeline for that?
We will, and that will be part of the PEA. So the PEA will come with an updated resource at an updated gold price. And we'll find a balance between, you know, head grade and strip ratio and a handful of factors like that, because at these current spot gold prices, you could push a cutoff pretty low. But, you know, we're not looking at a marginal project here. We want to present something that that looks really robust.
Good day. We are back. I have Blake McLaughlin here, an executive VP of development with Rocksmore Resources. Blake, thanks for coming on. How are you today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Blake, if you can tell our listeners basically really quick, what's your website? What are your tickers, symbols, and how can people find you?
Yeah, of course. So Rocksmore Resources is www.rocksmoreresources.com. We trade on the CSE under RM and the OTCQX under GARLF.
Okay. And I want to make clear for our listeners, the Rocksmore Resources, Blake, have not paid for this interview, not currently sponsors. I'm not myself currently an investor, although that may change. Blake, I asked you to come on because I'm interested in your story. And thanks for your time to tell me about Rocksmore. It was recommended by some people, so I wanted to learn more about it. So if you could do me a favor and just tell me, as well as our listeners, what the story is all about, if you can give me the, you know, the 30-second elevator pitch or overview, where is the project, what stage is it in, exploration, development, and why it matters.
Yeah, of course. So predominantly a gold project. It's one of the largest undeveloped gold projects in Nevada. You know, location that really matters and has been very important for U.S. gold production historically. Recently merged with Tora Gold and brought on a real team of mine builders and executors, including our new executive chairman and CEO, John Dorward. And so we're really ready to move this project into a stale PEA project from 2012 into a premier development asset in a time when these assets really matter. A large scale project in the domestic US that appears like it will show a substantial production profile from a sizable resource that currently exists.
Blake, you mentioned Nevada and the jurisdiction. If you can kind of tell us kind of the advantages that gives you and if at all, and if you can just kind of tell me about the timeline that you guys have in terms of what to expect.
Sure. So the project sits in the Battle Mountain Trend. You know, this trend's historically done 50 million ounces of gold production. Premier location, very, very well known. Along with that, that comes all the infrastructure required to build a mine, workforce, mine suppliers. The I-80 highway is about 10 miles to the north of the project. And high voltage transmission lines run nearby and through the project currently. So very, very well suited to build a mine. You sit in the shadow of SSR Mining's Marigold operation, which has run for nearly three decades. It really just shows that this is a premier mining jurisdiction, premier location to advance a project towards construction.
Where are you with, are you in the, what stage are you in, and then what's the timeline for permitting, and what do you guys have?
So currently, the project hosts a sizable resource. It did have a PEA done in 2012, which is historic by nature at the moment. And that's what we're working on right now and updating. So we're guiding first quarter of this year, or sorry, end of first quarter, start of second quarter this year, for this PEA to come to market. We really feel that that's going to set the tone into really pushing this forward in development. So, our goal would be on the back of that PEA to complete a pre-feas and put a sizable reserve on the asset, and look to continue into a permitting path. So in Nevada, typically that permitting path, from kind of our consultation, has said anywhere from 30 to 40 months, and that includes about 12 months of baseline data collection.
Blake, what do you guys have in the ground? What do you believe you have in the ground? And if you could talk about the grade, scale, and upside.
Yeah, currently the deposit hosts about 5.5 million ounces measured and indicated, and another 400,000 ounces inferred for just under 6 million ounces total across all three classifications. That comes in at about 0.52 grams per ton. To put that, in relative terms, Marigold Mining next door, they operate their reserves at about 0.47. So above half a gram is reasonable for these large scale open pit projects in this location. And so that's very sizable if you benchmark that against other resources. It sits us, we believe, somewhere in the top 10. And I think of note, that resource is calculated at $2,000 gold. So there's a sensitivity up to 3,000 that shows a quite a more sizable resource. And it's amazing that, in early 2025, we published that resource, and it was considered a reasonable gold price at the time. And then look at what's happening today, right? And so you can imagine the leverage and the torque to gold that this project has when we already have a 6 million ounce resource that was calculated less than 50% of today's spot.
So $2,000 gold, are you guys going to be updating that soon, or what's the timeline for that?
We will, and that will be part of the PEA. So the PEA will come with an updated resource at an updated gold price. And we'll find a balance between, head grade and strip ratio and a handful of factors like that, because at these current spot gold prices, you could push a cutoff pretty low. We're not looking at a marginal project here. We want to present something that looks really robust.
Blake, you mentioned Marigold. If you can just tell me a little bit more about your closest neighbors or realistic comps investors should be looking at, and where do you kind of see yourselves?
Yeah, like I mentioned, like that mine has been in operation for 35 years, give or take, produced 5 million ounces. This is one of the cornerstone assets of SSR Mining, multi-billion dollar market cap. I think they're maybe the third largest miner in the US now after the Cripple Creek acquisition. So, big sizable neighbor there. It's hard to benchmark based on scale. We kind of, we'd look to potentially an Integra Gold or a Black Pine like project, these types of things, these kind of, early to mid stage development assets that have sizable resources. We're a little bit behind in the development side of that, but certainly make up for it in scale. And we think Nevada, the advantage in Nevada is there is a very clear time frame. And under the current administration appears that, even more favorable if we can get into that permitting time, into that permitting path more quickly now.
Blake, you mentioned we talked about Marigold. We talked about you guys seem to have more territory, and you also were talking about using $2,000 gold. But where does your company today? Where does your company trade today in terms of market cap? And where do you see the biggest disconnect or opportunity for investors?
Yeah, we're like $135 million Canadian market cap right now. It's hard to find a benchmark that we don't sit, on the low end of. Part of that is market awareness. We're relatively new. We've made a few shuffles in the company. We recently just did a 10-to-1 consolidation, tighten up the share stack a little bit. There are some warrants as part of that, and we need to work our way through those, but even on a fully diluted basis, the value proposition's really, really exciting in the project right now. And part of it is it's a bit of a legacy asset that sat in a private equity firm's portfolio for about 12 years, had very limited work done on it. And so there are just, some old, outdated stories and ideas around the project that we really believe that this updated economic study that we will be putting out will really address.
Blake, you mentioned warrants. I kind of want to jump into that. If you can walk us through the share structure, if you can tell us when the warrants come off, and then the meaningful insiders, institutional ownership that you guys have, anyone that may be worth mentioning.
Totally. So it's about 54 million shares in the float currently, but 25.5 million warrants. On those warrants, there's a little over 8 million at $2 that are in the money now. We've seen slowly come in. Some people have started exercising them. And there's just a little under 17 million at $3 that, hopefully will be in the money near term, and people will start to be able to realize the value of. So, we're 60 million shares fully diluted, trade at about $2.50. I think we're 2.55 today currently. And I think the end of the year cash on hand was about $15 million. So we have a pretty good runway in terms of cash to get ourselves through this PEA and well into the year before we think we'll need to take that cup out again. Positions us well to get some of these big catalysts that we have coming up into the market.
And Blake, is that 15 million Canadian?
Yes, Canadian. Yeah. Sorry. And yeah.
Blake, if you can, I mean, I know that you and I spoke before, but for listeners who don't know you, I know that you're a geologist by trade, but if you can just kind of tell us a little bit more of your story, how you got connected, plugged in, what you bring to the table, and maybe a little bit about your team that you have around you to make sure that you guys succeed.
Yeah. So, before we started up this business, I worked for a mid-tier producer, Argonaut Gold. I got the joy of going into a project that had a historic resource and company making a build decision in the right market, and bringing that from a forest with the locked iron gate to a fully operation 10,000 ton per day open pit mine in Ontario. That was the Magino mine. And then we sold that to Alamos Gold at the start of 2024. And when that acquisition was finalized, we started this company. And so started looking for good assets that were available in the US and Canada when development assets really weren't in favor. Gold hadn't really moved substantially yet. And so we felt that there was just tremendous value. You could buy these projects for $2, $3, $4, $5 an ounce drilled off in the ground, when the discovery costs were multiples of that. Mm-hmm. So we took a long position on gold, especially what was happening in the world, that there was going to be some good value in these domestic assets that were, maybe forgotten by time or just had fallen out of favor.
Blake, who do you have around you that's going to help us believe that you guys have what it takes to get from point A to point B?
Yeah. So, that starts largely with the new board management. John, the former Rocks Gold team before that Frontier team, multi-billion dollar exits in the US and West Africa for Canadian listed companies. And so these guys really know how to do this. And they brought the institutional support right from the get-go. So now our registers, about 20% institutions, 16-17% insiders. That includes some big precious metal funds like Merck, and also some vocal, I guess, high net worth individuals like someone like Michael Gentile, who's recently joined the register as well as a shareholder. So great to have people like that supporting the business, and I think it really just shows that the quality of the asset and the quality of the team are there. And we're just we're getting ready to really, put the gas on and advance this project to where it deserves to be.
Michael Gentile is our keynote speaker for our conference in Atlanta that's coming up. I'm glad you mentioned him. When I get together with him and meet with him, and I ask him about Rocksmore Resources, what do you think he would say would be the biggest thing that draws him to your story? What would excite Michael if you were to ask him?
Oh. It's always a tricky one, but I think the first one that I got from him was management. Was he bets on the team, and he was around for Rocks Gold and saw the success of that, building multiple mines in West Africa and challenging jurisdictions and doing them really executing, building them on time and on budget, and building a good quality company. And so I think that was the initial draw right from the bat, was the leadership that came in place, and the fact that they don't get involved for no reason. They get involved because they see value that they can create.
Blake, you and I spoke before, but Roxmore Resources, this is for my listeners here, Roxmore Resources and Blake have not paid for this interview. We are not currently, I'm not currently an investor, although that may change. I am not giving investment advice. Please do your own due diligence. And one of the ways you can do that is to reach out to Blake with questions you might have, follow their story. Blake, if people wanted to follow your story, if they wanted to find you, reach out to you, where could they do so? And then if you can tell us one more time where you're trading as well as your website.
Yeah, of course. So contact at roxmoreresources.com is the best way to get a hold of us. And that's, can be found on our website as well, www.roxmoreresources.com. And again, the ticker's CSERM OTCQX GARLF. And both trade reasonable volume. And I appreciate the interview and the chance to have a chat. It's always fun, and hopefully we'll see you in Atlanta.
Yeah, Blake, it's been great. Thanks for letting me learn about your company. Look forward to continuing to follow your story. And everybody, stay smart, stay curious, stay disciplined. Reach out to Blake with questions you might have. Thanks so much, guys. Thanks, Blake.
Thanks, Steve.